So, we have a singular task today to talk about the authenticity of Christian faith. So if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, we will begin. We are certainly living in a world full of emoji-type faith, masks that we put on. Perhaps you are familiar with this kind of a mask that people use. It's our job today to unmask our faith, our Christianity, and to become real, to become true in our faith. Let's see if I can get that to stay someplace. How's that? I'm sure you can hear me better. But you know, we walk through life using emojis, texts, emails. We hide behind them so often. Sometimes we even try to make doctrinal statements or critiques of society using such things. And you know, when the Word of God all boils down to, when the book of Hebrews, when it all really boils down to the core substance, he says this: be authentic. Strip off the masks. Be authentic believers in Christ. And so today, we want to look at two very important verses in Hebrews chapter 6. And for those of you who are following along over the study of Hebrews, we are purposely jumping over temporarily, just until next week, because I think that verses 11 and 12 will help to put everything else in perspective. The writer in Hebrews comes out and he says, be authentic, genuine followers of Jesus Christ, because in this you will have life and hope and peace, and you'll be able to inherit the great promises that God has for you right here and right now. Now, we have people in our lives. I mean, we've talked to the kids already. I hope that you ladies got each of your little presents. And this is really a time today for us to talk about who is it that we follow? In whose footsteps do we follow? The writer of Hebrews, you're going to see here, is he says, so that you will be imitators, verse 12, of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. There are people who have gone before us. People who have walked the walk, either in the Bible, or walked the walk in front of us and showed us what real, genuine, authentic, powerful, life-filled faith looks like. And so I will be very open with you and tell you that Hebrews chapter 6, we finish at verse 3. Verse 4 through 12 is, by most accounts, the most controversial, most argued over piece of scripture in the entire Bible. Now, that may be arguable to you, but there are some verses in here that we need to have some serious DNA time to. We have to have some serious conversation about. We have to have a good, solid preaching time about as well. So I am going to 11 and 12, not because we're just trying to avoid the controversy, but I want you to understand where the controversy really kind of meets out. In the end, he kind of lets the info out of the bag. He says, be imitators of those who have captured the promises of God. And I have asked a couple of ladies today to share with us specifically how they have followed after authentic, genuine people and have grown in their faith because of it. So our first is this young lady back here, Ms. Jan Gallo. Ms. Jan has been here, part of our church, just about as long as I have, maybe a little longer. All right. So Ms. Jan, I told you I was going to ask you some questions. And she really didn't want to get up in front of you, and I don't blame her, that's okay. So you just have to crane your necks over this way. Ms. Jan is later in your life, where you're a little older than me. And yeah, that's right. And I would ask you then, how long have you been walking with Christ?
Well, I started to come to the church in the early 80s. The church offered a gymnastics class, which I attended 5 days a week. And back in those days, we came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. And I knew a family, the Patricks. Wayne played for the football team, the Buffalo Bills. So I was here 5 days a week. My husband said, well, why don't we try their Sunday services? So we started to come on Sundays, and of course I sat with the Patricks. So Mary Patrick, every Sunday, would poke me in the back. She'd say, Jan, you have to get up there and receive the Lord. And I'd fight her off every Sunday for like months. Then finally, one day, I decided I was going to receive Christ. And thanks to Mary Patrick, I received the Lord.
Amen. That's great. Isn't that great? When I think about the body of Christ and the way that we work and we live together and how we are supposed to challenge and develop each other towards Christ, that is a fabulous story. We were sitting over dinner, my wife and I, and Jan, a few weeks ago, and she told us that. And I had heard pieces of that here and there. Now, that didn't just stop with you, though. It also, that's right. So how did that work with your husband?
Well, then Wayne worked on Vinny.
So
then the week later, Vinny received Christ. So he said to me, well, we have to tell our children. No, he said, you have to tell your children. I said, my children, they're our children. So we did, and my children were excited because Vinny was in charge of the sheriff's department. He was superintendent, so he never went to church on Sundays. I took the children to church. So when I told the kids we were coming to church 3 times a week, my boy said, Mom, you did a good thing. You got Dad to go 3 times a week. So then he became a Christian as well.
Very good. And so, in that time, since that time that you have received Christ, have there been other people in the church? You've been here throughout the entire time. So
right.
have there been other people in the church who have spoken into your life, who have helped you to follow after?
You, for example, your family, your whole family, your mom, your dad, yes, several. Well, we've lost people moved down other churches, and yes.
But some of those also play a role in that.
A big role.
That's right.
Yes, when Vinny passed away, I tell everyone, if it wasn't for Amherst Church people, I don't know where I would have been.
So do you feel as though you are being challenged now? Let me just say this. I've spoken to you in recent months, and as you have watched what's going on in this church recently, I feel like there is a kind of a new spark within you. And I've actually said that to you directly, but there is.
I'm probably the oldest one here.
Yeah.
So, with the younger ones, yes, I love coming here, and I'm very happy here.
Excellent. Give it up for Ms. Jan. That's great. Thanks. Younger side, where are you, Kayla?
Yeah.
Kayla, where is she gone? Did she skip town? Kayla and Gillian, come on down. You're the next contestant on the Praise and Records. This is Kayla. You've heard her before, and she has spoken to you about things that God is doing in her life. But I would say, what have you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I would say I first came to repentance when I was in fifth grade. I got in trouble at school, yeah, so I first got convicted of sin. My mom helped me with that.
So your mother was one person who walked with you and helped you in your life. That's a very appropriate time for Mother's Day. But anybody else that has stepped alongside you and helped guide other women, particularly in your life, that have maybe not had to go to this church particularly, but anybody else that has spoken into your life?
Oh, Rachel Curtin. It's been by my side.
All right. So Rachel Curtin, we're actually going to be seeing here in the next week. She's going to be coming back, and she's going to be serving alongside of us as an intern here at Amherst Baptist. In the meantime, though, let me take this because you're not putting it up close enough. The other side of that is that on Tuesday, Kayla is going to be, she and Rachel are kind of passing ways. Rachel's coming up from the South, and you're heading down to the South. Why are you leaving?
I'm becoming a staffer at Crossings Camp down in Kentucky.
Okay, so our youth has gone to Crossings Camp for the last 4 years, and the last year or so has been a year of growth and kind of like a challenge to you. A year ago, you thought you were heading out to one place, right? Do you want to share with everybody exactly what happened there?
I thought I was supposed to go to Costa Rica to serve for 9 months, but as I really like pressed into the heart of God and got to know him more, it kind of steered me in a different direction. So that really helped a lot because I was able to know God more intimately during that time of wondering what I'm supposed to be doing.
So you've gone to school in the meantime in the past year. She just graduated a year ago and she wasn't sure where she was going to go, but she went to school. And coming out of school, you applied and interviewed with Crossings. And that looks like it could be a great movement of maturity in your life as well, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's all stand. Let's pray for Kayla as she's getting ready to take off. Father, we give you thanks, honor, and glory. You alone deserve the praise and the honor for what you have done in Kayla's life, and particularly in this last year, Lord God, and the development of her life, people that she has develop relationships with, places that she has gone to seek you out, Lord God, ways that she has spilled her life out at Cornerstone Manor and other places this past year. Lord God, I pray that you would use her mightily in these next months as she seeks your face, as she serves in whatever capacity that they ask her to be in. And I pray, Lord God, that you would motivate her to greater and greater maturity, to continue to pull off masks and other things that would keep her from walking strongly or cause her to stumble. Lord God, I pray that you would walk with her now. Empower her as a woman of God. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Good enough for Kayla. All right, so
you're going to see in Hebrews chapter 6 that really it comes down to following leaders, following other leaders who have gone before us. In this time of society, and we're growing less and less authentic. We as a church, in the meantime, need to step more deeply into genuine authentic faith, into genuine doctrine, into genuine relationship with one another, into genuine conversation with one another. We need, as the body of Christ, to strip off those old masks, the things that we hide behind, even in our social media and the time that we spend. You know, I spoke to one young lady who graduated some years back. She was a dorm leader, and we're talking several years back now. But she talked about how students would come into her dorm, and they did not even know how to look you in the face and talk to you. They have spent so much time. Now, I know I'm talking to a lot of us, our older generation than that, but I have to have you understand that we are living in a time when text messages and emails have become the only mode of conversation. This is a kind of a sickness that we have. The
these children, the students are growing up through high school, and when I say a long time ago, we're talking more than 10 years ago, this was already taking strong root in the youth culture. That they were not able to discuss or have a conversation. And what we're saying is, okay, that's society, but we're also, are we like that as a church? It's much easier for us to rip off a text message or an email to somebody to either lay them low or even some cheap encouragement. Now, I understand that sometimes that's the best we can do at times, but it never should supersede or do away with the face-to-face, the face-to-face confrontation, which I almost had a bridge on there. The face-to-face confrontation between each other, to love each other authentically. And look what it says here. Let's read this entire passage together in Hebrews chapter 6. It's just 11 and 12. Let's stick that verse back up there, Aurora. Now, we want each of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the final realization of your hope, so that you won't become lazy, but will become imitators of those who inherit the promise through faith and perseverance. I've highlighted a couple of important words there that as we go through these, I want you to see them and to understand. Let's look at the first part. Now we want, the word want, that's a desire or a longing for. And the point that we're going to make here later on is that this is a life that is a good life. This life of authentic faith is something that we as leaders want for you, and that you should want for each other, that you as diving partners should want a stronger drive towards Christ, a deeper desire for Christ, what we long for. We long for you to follow after Christ in this. We want you to demonstrate. The next word is demonstrate. And this demonstrate is to prove out or to display. We don't have to stop long periods of time on words that we are already familiar with. But understand what this writer is saying. That it is my deep longing for you to portray, to display, and to prove out what? The same diligence. Now look at this word, diligence. Diligence refers to a striving after, a thorough pressing towards. To demonstrate this diligence means that he wants you to display or show forth this drive, this intense desire to move forward. That's the word diligence. And for what reason? The realization or the assurance of your hope. Put that together. Now we long for each of you to show forth, to prove out the same kind of forthgoing, that same kind of active faith for the final assurance or realization, that certain confidence of your hope. What is this leader speaking to his congregation? Whatever has gone before in these previous verses is coming down to this. I do not want you to grow lazy. That's really where it comes down to verse 12. I don't want you to. We've heard this several times now in the book of Hebrews leading up to this point. I don't want you to be lazy. I want you to be authentic, genuine, diligent workers in the kingdom of God. That's my deepest desire for you. And as a body of Christ, that should be our deepest desire, pastor to congregation, person to person down the aisle, father to child, mothers to children. What is it that mothers express so well, so much better than fathers? Is that pastoral mothering heart to see their children progress. Sometimes we as fathers, we get the cart in front of the horse. We just want them to be. We just want you to be good. We want you to be and achieve, right? We're so driven and so gone, but the mothers make great pastoral figures as far as in the home. Nurturing. Walking alongside. That picture of the ducks, I'll throw that back up there. It's from a famous book that our kids read when they were little. What was it called, Kathy? Make Way for Ducklings. That's right. This is actually in Boston, Massachusetts. It's actually where the book was supposed to take place, in this little park. My daughter, Nikki, and I went and visited this little monument here in the park. And, you know, that's a mother duck leading all of her little ones behind her. Why the mother? I mean, because they make good leaders of authentic faith. And as we move on, I want you to see five different things that we can pull from this scripture about authentic faith. The first thing is that authentic followers of Christ, well, we're not there yet. That just go into the thing that just says authentic, please. There you go. Authentic followers of Christ are, number one, diligent in love. If you're following along with your note sheets, you'll see that on there. Diligent in love. Now, we want each of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the final realization of your hope. What are they diligent in? Well, he's talking about a love for the Word of God, a love for the body of Christ, a love for each other, a love for the family. I want you to be diligent, forthgoing, striving after that kind of love all the way to the very end, so that you won't become lazy, but will be imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. The second thing of authentic followers of Christ, are full of hope. Now, I had Easter Sunday morning to explain hope out. Hope is something that is eternal, that great hope of salvation and our life beside Christ, but it is also the here and now, and everything in between. Your hope is not rest in the fact that when you pass away from this life, that you'll see Jesus. That's not only what it is. If you really, and I'll reiterate this from Easter Sunday morning, that if you really kind of take hold of faith and you believe that the true way that you see hope laid out in your life is the day that you draw your last breath and you see Jesus, well, that's a final outcome, isn't it? That's a great hope. But that's not the hope that we're talking about in Hebrews. The hope that we're talking about in Hebrews is that you are living this life in reality, day by day, moment by moment. A true follower of Christ is filled with hope in the here and now. Authentic Christians, authentic believers and followers of Christ are filled with an understanding of this hope in the here and now as well as eternity. The authentic follower of Christ is a willing worker in the body of Christ, so that you won't become lazy, it says in verse 12. But you will be imitators. That you won't become lazy and fall back on what you have done in years gone by. If you have to stretch your mind to think about that one moment that you actually took Jesus seriously and it goes back 20 years, that's pretty lazy. If that's the last time you can think of that you actually had a serious moment with Jesus Christ, that's a lazy attitude towards Christ. And what we're going to see here as we play back through chapter 6 is that this is a strong warning. Let's not just sit back and say, hey, I was good because I walked down an aisle. I signed a card. I raised my hand. I did this. He said, don't be lazy. Nothing is assured to you when you're not proving out the realities of Christ's life in you. Oh, I showed Jesus Christ for those 10 years of my life back 30 years ago. That stuff keeps on creeping up on me. I don't know. It's... Sorry about that. But the truth of the matter is that we do have assurance, and we need to walk like we have assurance. We need to be people of authentic faith so that we are walking and willing to work, not being lazy. The authentic followers of Jesus Christ are faithful to follow those who have gone before us. That you may not be lazy, but will be imitators of those who inherit the promises through faith and perseverance. Now, this is those who have gone before us long ago that he's going to speak of later on in this book. The great cloud of witnesses that cheers us on. And this is also the great cloud of witnesses that sits right here among us, that have gone before us and have desired for us so deeply, like the Mary Patricks in the life of Jan. Go, that prompt us, that push us, that challenge us. Like the mother bird who finally has to kick her bird out of the nest, right? Her little chicks out of the little nest. Every year we have nests in our bushes. It's always amazing to me how those birds are laid, they're hatched, and they're out. And before we can actually even get a good look at them sometimes. We know that they're in there because mothers and fathers keep on feeding them. But then all of a sudden they're gone. I had Abby up on my shoulders the other day, and he's like, I see the little babies, and they're like, they're gone. Too late. Mothers challenge and push us to become what we're supposed to be. That we may fly, right? That we may fly through this life. So, we are to be faithful in following after those who have gone before us and have lived faithful, genuine, authentic lives. And in the same way, God is challenging us to become leaders. And this is all of us. Leaders who are authentic, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. So that we can say, as Paul says, come follow me as I follow Christ, come follow me. I am that confident in my understanding of who God is that I can say, I've got my sights on Jesus Christ. Come, follow me. Because I'm following the true master. The difference between a cult and a Christ follower is that a cult always just says, come follow me. Period. Wherever I take you, come follow me. And don't ask questions about it. Just follow me. The Christ follower always has an eye upon the master in front of him. So he can say, come, follow me as I'm following Jesus Christ. Authentic followers of Christ are patient and endure. So that you won't become lazy, but you will be imitators of those who inherit the promises. How do they inherit the promises? Through faith and perseverance. Developing faith. Developing perseverance. You're going to hear more and more about perseverance throughout this book of Hebrews. It is a good, good message for us in the church today. It is a great message for the American church, who has long ago forgot what it means to persevere through any kind of hardship. We hear the stories of these missionaries that are either now or long ago who endured so much. And we say, oh, we applaud them. It's like, that's great. Do you see what Paul went through? Oh, my goodness. He was tortured. Do you see what Lonnie Moon went through? I mean, she really gave her life. Do you see what? You can add and add and add and add. That perseverance, that growing in faith, was for them. No? Hebrews says, we grow more authentic, more genuine, more to be Christ followers as we persevere. Persecution, always makes a better church. Persecution always makes a better follower of Christ. Let that resonate. What do the days ahead of us hold for us? I don't know. What is the greater question, because we can't tell the future, is what is God calling us to today that would draw us out of our comfort, out of our slothfulness, out of our laziness to become true, authentic followers of Jesus Christ? That's the question. Does that look like a whole bunch of rules, lots of busyness? Not necessarily. Not being lazy does not necessarily mean being super, super busy. Not being lazy means that I have an ear to the heart of my Father, and I'm willing to follow Him at all costs, no matter where He would take me, no matter what He would do, no matter what the cost. Because that's what those who have gone before me have done. That's what the Josephs did. That's what the Abrahams did. We're going to see in Hebrews here. That's what that wall of faith that we're coming up to, that's what they're all about. People of a dynamic faith and power they lived through. How did they get to be that? They were authentic because they persevered, because they grew their faith through their lives and never became okay with where they were, always striving for a deeper understanding and relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's now look at the five realities that we can also see here. And they're tied in here to the same passage. Some of them we've already talked about briefly. When we talk about the fact that we desire it because it is good for you, it is good for me, the first reality is that authentic faith is a good life. Can we just let that sink in? There is no better life than the one that is found with Christ holding you, walking with you, filling you, empowering you, loving you, and loving through you, and doing all that He's doing, the best life possible, the most extreme life possible, the most fulfilled life possible, the most joyful life possible, is that in which Jesus Christ is close to you and walking with you, and He is your leader. That's the best. And sometimes we lose track of that. And I know I probably say that quite often, but I want us to keep on coming back to it, because nobody wants to take on this Christianity thing if it is all about just drudgery and living through persecution. It's like, why in the world do I want that? Because it's the best you can get. If you're persecuted for Jesus Christ, He says it's the best for you. I have given you all the grace you need to get through it, and you will be the man, the woman, the young person that is full of life, full of greatness. The second thing is, looking at that word, demonstrate. Romans 12 says this: what is your active worship? It's a living and holy sacrifice, demonstrated before this world. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in the power of Christ, be imitators of Him. He says, this is your act of worship, that you would give yourself as a living and holy sacrifice, a worshipful existence. When you look at the way that Jesus Christ deals with the Pharisees throughout the Gospels, He's looking at this inauthentic, false religiosity. And it breaks his heart, I believe, every time he sees it. When he deals with the Pharisees, I don't believe, sometimes I think he just, we believe that he's just so angry, so just want, no. I believe his heart is breaking. Because they're this close, and yet they're so far away. They know so much, but they're on their way to hell. Because in the midst of knowing, they don't know Jesus. In the midst of all the demonstration and all the outward appearance, it's all just this. It's all fake. So you look at Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 3, real quickly. 1 through 6. And it says this, "Now he entered a synagogue again, and a man was there who had a paralyzed hand. In order to accuse him, they were watching him closely to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. He told the man with the paralyzed hand, 'Stand before us.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful for on the Sabbath to do what is good or to do what is evil, to save a life or to kill?' But they were silent. After looking around at them with anger and sorrow at the hardness of their hearts, he told the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Immediately the Pharisees went out and started plotting with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Do we see the hypocrisy here? There are over 1,500, say that in your head, 1,500 laws in the Pharisaical law code about the Sabbath alone. 1,500. They had organized around themselves so much garbage that they couldn't see the very Son of God, the very person of God standing in front of them. And all their false worship and all their false attempts at self-justification, they were as far from heaven and as far from being in Christ as anybody has been. That's why Jesus says, "Do not be like the Pharisees. Your faith must be better than the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." This is why his heart is breaking. It's pouring out. As my brother Steve Castellon mentioned in small group, you know, it goes back to that time we look in Matthew chapter 7. He says, you know, "Hey, Lord, didn't I heal in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name?" And Steve says, "Which of us would ever stand before the very mighty God himself and try to self-justify? Only those who knew nothing of who Jesus Christ was, who knew nothing of what Jesus Christ had done, would ever try to justify himself in the sight of such a one." And that's why he says, "Get away from me. I never knew you. You never knew me. You didn't understand anything of what I was talking about because you're just trying to justify yourself in my presence." And there is no self-justification in the sight of God. There's nothing we can do that would cause us to look righteous enough before him. It is all about Jesus Christ living in us. Authentic faith is a life of freedom and healing. Now look at the words here in going back to Hebrews chapter 6. Demonstrate the same diligence for that final realization, that assurance, that great hope. You understand? that the assurance of salvation, as is discussed in the New Testament, is the freedom that we have all been looking for. Not only us, but all of mankind. We want to know that we are reconciled with our holy God. Deeply inside of us, every one of us wants to be reconciled to Jesus Christ, to God the Father. But many people in the world don't know how that happens. Many people don't understand that by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross, it has done the work on our behalf. It has done everything for us. And there can be a certainty of assurance. And with that assurance comes hope. And with that hope, there comes freedom. The Muslim does not know this freedom. Because all the days of his life, he will work to the end to accomplish, to make himself self-justified before God. And he'll never know. He never knows. You ask them. They do not know if they will ever do enough to get themselves into heaven. It's not just Muslims. It's many, many different people groups. Many different religious groups. Perhaps it's even here among us. That you're so uncertain because you're just trying to self-justify yourself. You're just trying to build up the good works because somehow that is actually going to mean something. And in the end, it's all just going to burn. Hay, straw, stubble. Self-justification, self-works will not stand in the judgment. But the self-assurance of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and King of your life, that will save your soul. It will transform your life. It will change you.
The realization is authentic faith is a life of freedom. And what about that guy who stretches out his hand? A life of healing. And finally, authentic faith is a promise-filled life. It is a life that has mounded up promises of grace, promises of good life and blessing. A life of authentic faith, genuine striving to be with Jesus, desiring more of him in your life. That's that authentic Christianity, which allows Jesus Christ just to dump upon you. I love how Pastor Scott mentioned the bottle and the ocean of grace, the ocean of love, the ocean of God's character that cannot be contained in a single 2-liter bottle. It is overwhelming who he is, and that's what he wants to continue to pour into us. It's never ending. It's the life eternal. It is that well that never runs dry. It is life, vibrance, joy. Is the thriving of our very souls.
And I'd leave you with this, with a short story about, it's about my life. There he is. That's your trumpet player.
I played trumpet up here. Maybe some of you guys remember, for the good or for the bad, that I played here with a couple of gentlemen. For those of you who remember back in those days, Bill Dean is still alive and kicking. He is up there. I don't know how. He's got to be nearing 100 years old. But Bill and Kurt Hammond and I used to play trumpet pretty much every week. And I was playing my trumpet in the band and the orchestra at school. I was taking private instructions. And I got all the way up through high school. And I was first trumpet and all these things. And I really thought I was pretty good. I thought I had arrived. And then I entered the University of Buffalo. Now, I was not a music major, but I really desired to continue on developing my trumpet skills, which I thought I had. And so It was a really cool thing back in those days. As a non-major, I was able to join them, and by being a part of their ensembles, I was given an instructor. His name was Mr. Gleaves. I'm sure he's since passed on. But Mr. Gleaves was had been the principal trumpeter of the Buffalo Philharmonic. And he was still playing the Philharmonic while he was there. That's the way that UB worked in those days. They had the Buffalo Philharmonic players come and give lessons. So it was free besides that. I couldn't believe it. So I walked into this great moment. I sit down with Mr. Gleaves and I start playing. He's like, play this. Every single week, I left there in tears. Whoever told you you knew how to play the trumpet? You're doing it all wrong. Now, he was old and crusty at the time, okay? So he had a certain crustiness about the way he behaved around. He didn't really have a lot of grace. He didn't have a lot of patience. Definitely not with me. And he would, week after week, why I went back, I'm not really sure, except I wanted to grow. I wanted to be, when he broke me down, I took it as a challenge that I would come back the next time having practiced better. And there were times in the University of Buffalo, they gave us little rooms to practice in, and I would be in there literally for 2 and 3 hours a day. This is not my major. This was my extra time. I was doing youth ministry here at the time as well. When I wasn't doing youth ministry, I was taking classes. When I wasn't taking classes, I was doing trumpets. And in that time, I became the most proficient trumpet player I was ever going to become. It doesn't say a whole lot, but I was able to keep up with the guys in the university. Mr. Gleaves had broken me down because why? I walked in with an attitude of been there, done that, unteachable, and he saw it. He said, hey, anybody who told you, you know what the heck you're doing with this thing, with this trumpet? You don't have a first clue. Let me teach you something different. I wish he spoke to me in that nicely, but it wasn't quite like that. So through the tears, and you know, I consider myself a grown man at 18, right? And I'm walking like, oh my gosh, it's broken down, it's crushed my heart. And it's like week after week for years, I worked with this man. And honestly, by the time it was all done, I came to one conclusion. There's no end to the growth. Not in trumpet playing, and certainly not in the spiritual world. You can never come to the point where you say you've been there. That leads you to this. That's pride and it's arrogance that will lead you to a facade. It will lead you to prop yourself up, to self-justify, and to walk away from the great promises that God has for you today. Some of you today, you have walked away from the great promises God long ago. And you don't really yet see anything but cost. You don't see the great benefits and excellencies of who God is, who Christ is in your life. And I don't know how to tell you any more strongly. I don't know how to tell you any more desperately. But this is a desperate word. There is a desperate need that we're going to be looking at in these next couple weeks. A desperate word for those of us who think you've been there and done that. And Christ just wants to knock on the door. And he will be kind. He'll be gentle. And he just wants to say, listen, you're living like a dead person. Come, take of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Stop masquerading. Stop putting on a show. Be authentic. authentic. Be genuine. Be the kind of Christ follower that I've called you to be. Let it challenge us, guys. People, let it challenge us in our hearts today. Scott, if you would come and close us out. But let's just take some moments to consider that. Let's consider what it is that God, we don't have DNA today. There's no reason for us to run out. You're going to be dismissed. There's going to be some fellowship out here, some coffee and such out in the foyer for those that want to stick around for a little bit. But for right now, let's just calm ourselves and consider the authenticity and the great benefits of being genuinely in love with this Jesus.